Our next guest in the studio is Dr. Scott Huffman, who is the professor and director of the Winthrop University poll that just came out. So he always likes to swing by the microphones to give us the results on what that Winthrop poll looked like. So welcome, Dr. Huffman.
Thank you. Glad to be here with you.
So before we get started on what the actual results were of this latest Winthrop poll, take us back just a little bit on what exactly the Winthrop poll is, how it got started, and is it just a locally run poll?
The very first Winthrop poll in 2002 was, in fact, local. It was only of Rock Hill. But now we do both statewide and the entire South. So, again, it's a way to conduct research into what South Carolinians are thinking. And it's mainly filling a gap because most polls that you're going to see, especially South Carolina, are just going to be likely voter polls or registered voter polls. And that's because they're done by political consultants or politicians who honestly don't care what the average person thinks. They only care what their potential voters think. So, Winthrop University, we're a proud public university. This is a way to sort of gauge what, every South Carolinian's thinking. We also do the entire South because that's something that was done for years by, groups that studied the South, one at UNC Chapel Hill, and that was no longer done. So we sort of fill the gap because, we Southerners are unique and we need to keep an eye on what's changing in the South, and a lot is.
So this poll is conducted, how do you find the people that you poll?
Right. So when we first started, in the first years of doing even a Southwide poll, you could do telephone landline polls. That has changed dramatically over the years. Only 4% of South Carolinians are reachable by landline only. You know what? That number is over a year old. I bet it's even smaller by now. Virtually everybody in South Carolina is either cell only or combination cell and landline. Until my dad recently passed away, he was one of those cell and landline folks. And a lot of us, Gen Xers, kept a landline for a long time because after 9/11, the cell phone lines were jammed because too many people were on it. Nowadays, that's not an issue. The cell line, the towers can get everybody. But most people are cell phones. So when we have a mixed mode poll, we call, and our calling is primarily cell phones. We still do a little bit of landline to get those folks, and we do online. And so, we have it set up so that the people we interview, no matter whether it's online or phone, look like the people of South Carolina. So if there is a little off, we use statistical weights to make sure no group is being overrepresented. So for example, if we get 50-50 male and female, we have to add a little statistical weight because South Carolina is not 50-50. It's closer to 51 female, 49 male. So we make sure that, we show that difference in the poll results. So it's weighted, W-E-I-G-H-T, not weighted, because as Southerners, we can't differentiate that word. It has a weight so that it accurately reflects who lives in South Carolina.
Well, let's get down to some of the meat and potatoes of this last poll that was given, and I think the dates were in April.
Early April.
Last month. What were some of the takeaways? Did anything really surprise you coming out of the poll this time?
Well, people always want the top lines about approval ratings, for example, and approval ratings of the president in this new presidency in this day and age are good for about 3 or 4 days because things change so quickly and evolve so quickly. The president, as you might expect, is doing better in South Carolina than he is nationally, especially if you look at those folks who only have an opinion. Because again, this is a general population poll, not just likely voters. Some people are doing likely voter polls now of an election that's over a year away. So I really don't understand that. But people who have an opinion, he's doing much better. However, a lot of folks, a lot of Republicans are thinking, why isn't it through the roof? And the answer is, it is among Republicans. But people forget the South in general and South Carolina has a large percentage of African Americans. African Americans vote 90% Democratic. You know, we're overwhelmingly Republican in the seats in the legislature because of gerrymandering. If for the Democratic seats, you have to run far to the left to keep those. For the Republican, you have to run far to the right. Our legislature's Republican. Republicans think, well, we should be running 90% pro-Trump. They forget it's different. And, you know, think of it this way. There are many, many, many more African-Americans throughout the South than, say, North Dakota. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people forget that there are Democrats in South Carolina. But even so, he's doing better in South Carolina than he is nationally.
And I think a lot of what came out of this poll, too, you were kind of, we were talking off mic a little bit, are what you consider wedge issues. Mm-hmm. So first, explain what a wedge issue is, and then maybe some of the statistics that came out of that.
A wedge issue is something that's brought up, you know, by politicians, by the political parties, to create a divide, to make a wedge between the parties and to fire up both parties. I mean, you know, we've used the word trigger wrong in recent times, but it does trigger people on both sides so that they are fired up about an issue. And one of the recent wedge issues are transgender issues. Transgender folks make up 0.6% of the population nationally. And I can guarantee you an adult person who's you know, transgender probably is moving to somewhere that's more friendly to transgender, so it's probably even less. So there are, it is, this is a non-problem, really, with regard to how many. However, people feel very strongly about it. And to the degree you keep it in the forefront of people's minds, then that's going to keep both sides from paying attention to other policy issues that they might be more fired up about. Now, when it comes to transgender issues in South Carolina, it's a little more nuanced than you would think. Most folks do not want overt discrimination against transgender. They don't want them to be denied being allowed to move in to live places, denied restaurants. However, majority of folks on both sides do not feel comfortable with transgender folks using their bathroom as opposed to that of the sex they were assigned at birth. They do not want them on athletic teams that was not the sex they're assigned at birth. They do not want them, you know, in the doctor's offices getting, you know, medical care that helps them transition. So the general population tends to be against that type of thing, but they do not want overt discrimination.
And another wedge issue was DEI.
Right. You know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Your average South Carolinian actually needs that explained to them what those three letters mean. You know, the people listening to this show, the people who pay attention to the news, don't. They know what it is. But a lot of folks aren't paying attention to the news. They don't even watch the national news, you know, on an average night. The closest to news they get is if someone forwards something on Facebook and they look at, well, 10% more of South Carolinians are okay with DEI than are not. However, that is a massive wedge issue between people who identify as Republicans and people who identify as Democrats. Diversity, equity, and inclusion has been pushed by the Republicans as taking away you know, the merit-based, and has been pushed by Democrats as a way to make sure everyone is represented. Both sides think they're entirely right, and it has caused a massive division. And again, a wedge issue. It may at the tip have a bit of relevance, but most of the time when it's driven deep in the population, it's more about firing up your base than about making real differences in policy. And we've seen the same thing in the South Carolina legislature as, you know, anti-DEI laws have been pushed very strongly, and they've made more news than a lot of issues in the South, in South Carolina, laws passed that really have more relevance. But what are we hearing about?
And I know that you said the Winthrop poll is done about four times a year. What does that time schedule look like? And do you think that any of these issues will see any big influx or decrease with the next time the poll is
given? So usually it works within the semester. And, you know, and for example, this time we're actually going to go in the field with another poll in May, which we don't always do. So, you know, they cycle around the spring and the fall. And our next poll absolutely there's going to be a lot about tariffs because that's in the news to people paying attention for the news. On the flip side, people are only now beginning to say, okay, what is it going to do to prices? After the election, around the New Year's, if you looked at the Google metrics, the search for what is a tariff shot through the roof. So it had been talked about in the election, and nobody actually knew what it was. And nobody actually knew what it was or knows what it is until now, when it's beginning to affect other things.
It's their bottom line.
Right. The avian flu was causing the spike in eggs. They kind of understood that. But now when they're buying something that says assembled in the USA, what's the deal with this? The word assembled. Because most of the parts of that came from China, came from overseas. Most of the parts in your car, even if it's assembled, in Tennessee, where, most Subarus of, I think the Outbacks are assembled in Tennessee, doesn't matter. The components come from Japan, come from overseas. So people are going to start feeling those, especially over the summer. So if Trump doesn't lower them, we know they've been going up and down and up and down week to week, then we need to gauge what people think about them once they start seeing what the impact is, whether it brings manufacturing back or whether it has affects their budget at home. We want to measure how people think, whether they like them or they don't like them.
Finishing up with Dr. Scott Huffman of Winthrop University. Dr. Huffman, I've always wondered this, handling the news in the afternoons when we cover this Winthrop poll. This number always seems to be between like 40 and 49%. 44% think things in the state of South Carolina are headed in the right direction. I'm curious as to what you think, why that number is what it is. You mentioned that there are more Democratic-leaning voters in the state of South Carolina than some may think, right, even though this is a red state. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Does it reflect upon the presidency? Does it reflect upon the governor? Well, what's your take on that when that number is right around there? It seems like every time you guys do this.
Well, the biggest number is the one that no one looks at, the one that influences it the most, and that is people who say, not sure. Hmm. And again, people who listen to the show, people who follow the news, have an opinion. The person who, I don't know what's on TV these days, so I'm going to go with Dancing with the Stars. The person who watches Dancing with the Stars and has a real life outside of politics, 17% are not sure. Mm. Now, if you only look at the people who have an opinion, where are those 17% going to go? So both of those numbers would be higher. So right track in South Carolina would be over 50%. The wrong track would be over the 38%. And again, when you look at approval numbers, especially if it's a general population poll, you forget these are real people. A lot of them have no opinion. So you got to throw those in. And of course, we're a Republican dominated state. 72% of Republicans think we're headed in the right direction. 19% of Democrats. So that 44 number, always look at the not sure among a general population. Those things have to do with the people who just haven't formed an opinion.
And of course, we're speaking with Dr. Scott Huffman, who is a professor at Winthrop and director of the Winthrop Poll. If people want to be able to see the results for themselves, where's the best place to go?
Right. If they just go to Winthrop and do the search for Winthrop Poll, it'd be fine. If they actually Google Winthrop Poll, the first thing that comes up is probably the Winthrop Poll site, or the second or third, depending on Google's algorithm now. And we have a tag for results where we have our most recent results and archived results.
You can go back and see.
Right, and we have so many more questions than we've just talked about. A deep dive into the methodology, and before the tables with the results start, a little bit of analysis.
Great, and we'll also have a conversation with you on Straight Talk coming up in the next week or so, where you're really going to start dissecting what the results look like. So again, right. Dr. Scott Huffman, who is a Winthrop professor and the director of the Winthrop Poll, we thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.